We now know four of the teams that will play in this season's UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. Real Madrid did enough as Leipzig pushed them hard at the Bernabeu, and it was another powerful home display from the defending champions as Manchester City saw past Copenhagen. We'll look back at the goals, the big moments, and much more right here on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Halfway through the round of 16 second legs, and to look back on Wednesday night action, his European football expert Alvaro Romeo alongside me, Rob Daly. Alvaro, the two favourites really to progress go through tonight, but it wasn't easy for Real Madrid.
It wasn't easy for Real Madrid. I think that RB Leipzig did a very good job. The game plan was excellent. In the first half, they invaded Real Madrid's half and they created a few chances. Openda was probably the man who could have opened the scoreline more times, but it wasn't his day. Then in the second half, Real Madrid corrected a few things. Carlo Ancelotti, I think that he was a little bit cautious in the first half. In the second half, he brought in Rodrigo instead of Camavinga, because Camavinga didn't have an easy first half. And then the game opened up a little bit. Vinicius scored the opening goal in the 64th minute. Orban replied straight away, 3 minutes after. And from that moment until the end of the game, there were chances mainly for RB Leipzig. And, you know, things could have been better for them. But unfortunately, Real Madrid is the team that goes through.
Okay, so a reminder of how things finished on Wednesday night, because Manchester City beat Copenhagen by 3-1, a 6-2 win on aggregate, and we'll get to that game shortly. But let's start with matters in the Spanish capital. Madrid looking to defend their solitary goal advantage after that first leg in the east of Germany. Alvaro watched the second leg alongside commentator Mark Scott.
Could carry this by Bellingham, almost towards the edge of the area. Bellingham waits for the options, finds Vinicius Junior, wonderful goal! Oh, that is Real Madrid quality all over! Leipzig have had the better of it, but a Bellingham burst is finished off by Vinicius Junior.
They have masterminded this counter-attack with Jude Bellingham waiting for Vinicius to do the run, and when Vinicius was in the right place, not offside, he passed the ball to Vinicius and Vinicius did the rest.
David Raum up against Valverde, gets it in dangerously, and Leipzig are back in the tie. Willy Orban, the skipper, with a fine glancing header. Leipzig reply immediately, and it's game on at the Bernabeu once again. Marco Rose's men will feel they are good value for that. Willy Orban with a brilliant header. Game on. Dani Olmo takes it down. Goes for the lob, but it's onto the bar. Oh, millimetres away from levelling the tie. Gasps amongst the home fans as Dani Olmo's measured finish was almost absolutely perfect. And Real Madrid are through to the quarterfinals once again.
We were so close to extra time in this tie. Mark joins Alvaro and myself now. We all raised our eyebrows really with the team selection in terms of Real Madrid, Mark, because when the game kicked off, we were just trying to work out what Real Madrid were doing up front.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it really worked out the way that Carlo Ancelotti would have hoped either, because it was almost Jude Bellingham playing this false nine role. Rodrigo was left out of the starting lineup. He was amongst the substitutes. He did come on at half time, but with only Vinicius Junior, the most recognised sort of forward player out there, we were wondering how it was going to work out. And they just looked a little bit muddled in the first half at times, whereas Leipzig had a very clear and defined game plan. Bellingham kept coming deep and trying to get the ball, which meant there was no focal point further forwards. And I think that it handed the initiative a little bit to Leipzig in that first half.
Yeah, and I think that, by the way, happy birthday to Real Madrid. It's their 122nd birthday.
Sure someone got them a cake, Alvaro.
Yeah. I'm sure they can afford it as well. But yeah, just very quickly, just following up on what Mark said, I think that it's difficult sometimes to plot a game plan when you have won the first leg. And if Real Madrid wanted to be slightly speculative, because they could actually speculate with the result and go for the draw, that goes a little bit against Real Madrid nature and Santiago Bernabeu nature. Real Madrid is about attacking mainly, and in the first half they've been cautious. Real Madrid supporters didn't like it, and it didn't work very well for Real Madrid either, because Leipzig had a lot of possession, they had chances. In the second half, everything changed. The game opened up a little little bit more. And then it became a more intense game with more opportunities, more entertaining. I would say that the first half was a half in which you could feel the hand of the managers, Marco Roses and Carlo Ancelotti. In the second half, the game has been more orthodox in a way. The players have been the ones making the difference, not the managers.
The change for Rodrigo at halftime was kind of understandable. We saw a more conventional looking Real Madrid attack.
Yeah, and they just had a bit more balance, they had a bit more bite as well. And one thing that was noticeable in the first half was Leipzig very aggressive in their pressing. Four or five players right up in the Madrid penalty area to try and squeeze the play, whereas Madrid seemed a bit more passive, perhaps partly down to the fact that they were adjusting to this slightly unfamiliar formation and tactical plan from Carlo Ancelotti. But given that it was a bit more orthodox, as Alvaro was saying, they knew their roles a bit better, and they actually just looked a bit more aggressive in the way that they were playing, and they looked more like the Real Madrid that you might expect. That said, it was still Leipzig that was sort of knocking at the door a bit more until the opening goal came, which was just a thing of beauty between Jude Bellingham and Vinicius Junior.
It really felt like premium Champions yeah. League play. You had Cruz, yeah. Bellingham and Vinicius Junior all linking up for this.
Well, Jude Bellingham ran with the ball around easily 40 yards, and he timed his pass perfectly for Vinicius. Vinicius did the right move, and one touch, and he put it in the net. I mean, they were so fast, Jude Bellingham and Vinicius, and so self-sufficient that two of them were capable of finding that goal, surrounded by four defenders from RB Leipzig. There was no help from Rodrigo needed, because Rodrigo was a little bit 20 meters behind, just trying to get there on time. There was no need for Rodrigo. Vinicius and Bellingham did it themselves, and what a season Vinicius is having, by the way. Jude Bellingham, of course, too. 20 goals this season, that's incredible for a midfielder. But Vinicius, in the weekend, he scored a brace against Valencia at Mestalla. Again today, he was a difference maker for Real Madrid. And, you know, even on and not a very good day for Real Madrid, because I think that RB Leipzig has been slightly better. Real Madrid has gotten the result they wanted. So this is the dangerous thing about the good sides, that, you know, even when they are suffering, they manage to stay in the game.
Alvaro, you picked out pre-match, so sometimes you can get a Real Madrid with crosses if you bombard the penalty area. I feel like we didn't actually see much of that for the first three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
But that did, in fact, lead to the equaliser on, what, the 68th minute.
Well, yeah, it happened. And then Orban scored via cross. Then Orban, in the 81st minute, had also the opportunity to score from a corner. And I remember that before that chance for Orban, Poulsen just didn't get to a cross that was perfectly timed, but he just didn't need, or he didn't head it, I don't know what he wanted to do. So yes, crosses can be a source of trouble for Real Madrid this season. We have seen it sometimes, for example, against Atletico de Madrid. And I think that RB Leipzig could have used that slightly better, because also they've got the player who sends more crosses in the Bundesliga, which is Raum, the left back. But today, I don't remember the many crosses from Raum, and it's a real shame for them, because I think that over there, they have maybe the Rosetta Stone to win this game, right?
Sending
crosses and making sure that, players like Šeško, for example, have opportunities.
They started running more of those crosses into the box late in the game.
I have to say, you know, what Alvaro was saying earlier, Marco Rose's game plan in the first half especially, because he pointed out that it wasn't that there were necessarily standout players that were absolutely grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck, but the organisation, everyone knew their roles, the way that they hunted in packs, the defined game plan meant that the first half performer was the head coach, Marco Rose.
Yeah.
The game plan was spot on, and that's why Leipzig were in the ascendancy. The big thing is, and how often do you say it about serial winners, take your chances. Leipzig had enough chances tonight to win the tie, regardless of extra time, in the 90 minutes. However, when we saw that moment of quality, Bellingham, Vinicius Jr., blink of an eye, everything was absolutely spot on, and they had their goal. And that's the goal that took them through.
Yeah.
Willy Orban, who was just stretching to try and challenge Vinicius Jr. for the goal, got the equaliser. He is the UEFA player of the match. And then that Dani Olmo chance at the end, Real Madrid were kind of hanging on would be a bit strong, but they certainly were having to defend a bit in those closing moments.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you mentioned Dani Olmo. Dani Olmo was the subject of two blocks by Rudiger. Rudiger, who, by the way, was celebrating his own blocks with the stunt, because he understood he understood the importance of those blocks. Dani Carvajal did a key block as well inside the six-yard box as well in the second half. So there are many chances that don't count as chances because they ended up being blocked. But RB Leipzig had many shots this game, 20 in this game.
I was going to say, 20 shots to Real Madrid's 11 at the Bernabeu, 4 on target to the 3 of Madrid, and only slightly less possession as well, 46% to 54. I think we can class that as more than just a valiant effort. And when you get that, when everyone was looking at this game and said it was a near impossible task for Leipzig, they certainly didn't make it look impossible, did they?
No, absolutely. I think that we thought during the game that they had a chance to qualify. I think that the best thing for them was that they didn't throw the towel when Vinicius scored that goal, because after all the efforts, if you see yourself behind in the scoreline, it's very tempting to say, okay, that's it. This is my... I cannot fight anymore. And then they scored that goal and they still had the fuel in the tank to go on until the final minute of the game. Really, it's a very commendable performance by RB Leipzig.
You've got to remember as well, even though they've been eliminated in the tie, it's the first time in 8 Champions League matches that Real Madrid haven't won, because it was won all on the night, and that was at the Bernabeu. I mean, that just shows what a good job they've done.
And they maintain this remarkable record of having scored in every home knockout Champions League game since 2011, Real Madrid, thanks to the goal from Vinicius Junior. They're doing this at the moment without the injured Alaba, Eder Militao and Courtois as well. 7 points clear in La Liga right now.
Yeah.
Alvaro, but what did this performance and the two legs say about where Real Madrid are in terms of challenging for this competition?
Well, I think they are in a good place. Of course, if we have learned something this midweek is that the big sides have performed, the big players have performed, the likes of Harry Kane, the likes of Kylian Mbappé, the likes of Erling Haaland, Vinicius, they've been all up for it. So I think that Real Madrid knows that they are in a good place, but they also know that their opponents can be very difficult. But in La Liga, they've got a very good cushion, and I think that they are going to win it, especially because Barcelona has lost two key players for the next 4 or 5 games, Pedri and Frenkie de Jong. So Real Madrid knows that the future is bright because their players are young. Therefore, they are going to be energetic by April and in May when the season decides, comes to an end. Also because Eder Militao and Thibaut Courtois are going to come back this season. I don't know when exactly, but I heard today that Thibaut Courtois is going to start training with the group during the international break, which is good news, by the way. Nothing to take away from Lunin, by the way, who has been doing an excellent
job. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that the season looks bright for Real Madrid, and they are in the right place where they want to be, just to, you know, to face the final third of the competition.
I wonder what these performances have said to these young RB Leipzig players. It was a big overhaul in the summer, Mark, wasn't it? And Kuku going, Szoboszlai going, Gvardiol going. But in a season where they've been mildly inconsistent in the Bundesliga, they've gone toe-to-toe with Real Madrid, and you'd imagine that'll be a big boost for the final 2 months of the season.
Yeah, absolutely, because you look at the German Bundesliga table at the moment, they're a point off Borussia Dortmund. They're miles off the pace in terms of trying to catch Bayer Leverkusen, but that's a problem for pretty much everyone in Germany at the moment. So I think that they'll be confident of reining in that gap on Borussia Dortmund based on the performance that they put in this evening. There's certainly no reason why they couldn't chase down that spot and get themselves into the top four in Germany. But I think this could be a coming of age performance for certainly some of the younger campaigners that have been in there. You look at Xavi Simons, who stood up on the big stage this evening, and I just think that it's a very positive thing.
And you really want to see them in the next Champions League edition, because I think that they've been good enough to deserve a spot in the next Champions League. Let's see how it goes. And I also want some stability in the market, so this project can stay a little bit more. These players can stay one more year. Xavi Simons, Dani Olmo, Cesco, all of them ensure that they have a lot of value in the market too. But if they stay in the team one more year, I think that the next season they are going to come back stronger.
It finished Real Madrid 1, Leipzig 1, 2-1 on aggregate to Real Madrid. Still to come, we'll look back on Wednesday's other second leg in the UEFA Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go.
With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
To the northwest of England next, where Champions League holders Manchester City hosted Copenhagen. City held a commanding 3-1 advantage after the first tie. Denner Hagen was watching the second one.
Alvarez corner here from the City right. In by Alvarez, it's come a long way! And the ball is met full on the volley by Manuel Akanji. And City lead, a right foot volley into the roof of the net. And inside of 5 minutes, it is now a 4-1 lead overall for City, and they now are in total charge. Here's Alvarez again, whipped in with pace, oh, and fumbled in by goalkeeper Grabara. It's two inside 9 minutes. Here is Odioskus in the back heel, El Yunusi! Low right foot finish, and Copenhagen on the board tonight. And the goal, Mohamed El Yunusi, to halve the deficit on the night in Manchester. Haaland's touch in the penalty area on his left foot. Got the shot away, big deflection. Another goal for City. And Haaland didn't score in the first leg, he scores tonight. And that now 3-1 before half-time. And they now are overall 6-2 clear in the tie and set fair for the quarter-finals.
Yeah, they are there again in Manchester City, the first side in major European competition history to score three or more goals in nine successive home matches. It's something they've been making a habit of, in fact, home and away in the Champions League this season. We heard Dan there and he joins us now. And Dan, really dealing with corners in those opening moments was a real problem for Copenhagen.
Yeah, the coach Naestrup said before the game they had to have a miracle here. It was almost impossible. If you defend two corners the way they did the first two corners tonight, of course it's going to be a difficult job. The first goal, a volley by Akanji. The second, the ball came back out and a shot from Alvarez, which the goalkeeper made a mess of. But when you go two goals down here in the space of 9 minutes, of course it's going to be a very, very uphill battle. But they came back well. You know, they got a goal back through El Yunusi, a really well-taken goal, a well-crafted counter-attacking goal, and they played their part in the game. The second half was a strange half. There were 3-1 down at half-time to Haaland's goal. The second half, both teams, I think, just kind of took off the gloves, eased back and sat back and saw the game out. But, yeah, Copenhagen will learn a lot today. They had a young team out there today. They began the game, I think, with three teenagers. City obviously made seven changes too, and they progress in the end, Rob, with lots of room to spare in the end across the tie.
Yeah, Manuel Akanji's brilliant goal, that volley in the opening moments, got things up and running. And the defender, the UEFA player of the match, says that fast start was crucial.
The first two goals that we scored in the first half, that made it easier for us because then we were already up four goals. So it was pretty hard for them to come back. They scored one. We had a little phase where we didn't play that well. But then we came out in the second half again. We tried to do our best, but in the end, we just couldn't give them a lot of chances. And I think we did what he had to do today. For Copenhagen to come here when they lost the first game, and we know if we can score the first goal and even double up with the second one, it's pretty hard for them to come back from this. So, yeah, it was really our goal to score the goal early, because as long as it still stays 0-0, they still got hope to come back. So we did what we had to do.
There were big celebrations when Akanji scored that admittedly brilliant goal in the opening moments. It seemed to speak to the idea, Dan, really, that just getting this done as early as possible is crucial in a week where they've just played Manchester United and they've got Liverpool at the weekend.
That's exactly it, Rob. I think, obviously, as you say, there are two huge games in the Premier League either side of this one tonight. And, yeah, you know, they began the game here with a two-goal lead. Before the game, Guardiola said that, you know, there can be a slip. If there's a red card or a mistake early on, the game can be different. So get the two early goals, put the game to bed, then relax, then be able to take off the likes of Rodri and Erling Haaland in that second half to give them a breather ahead of their huge game at Liverpool this coming Sunday in the Premier League.
Did any of those players, I mean, seven changes, wasn't it, in the end, to the starting 11, did any of those players that come in really impressed for Manchester City? Will there be things that Pep Guardiola will have learned about his squad from the match tonight?
He will, yeah. I thought the two youngsters did really well. I thought Oscar Bob, who played left and right and centre across the game, all over the pitch, he was excellent in a rare start. Just one in the Premier League, I think, so far for him. Rico Lewis, too, had a good game again during the game, played in a range of different positions. And, OK, they're not going to start the game at the weekend, but they'll give Guardiola, I'm sure, going forward, lots of food for thought.
Let's hear from him now. He says his side needed to work incredibly hard for victory.
It was not done, honestly. The people said, ah, it was 1-3 there, and after they see the result, 3-1. But I don't have the feeling that in football, in Championship, especially this competition, is done when it's really, really done. Otherwise, it's better have the warnings. But yeah, it's difficult to attack them. It's a team well organized, playing with 4 or 5 in the back. But yeah, the result is there, and next round.
Yeah, Copenhagen had that wonderful moment where they scored the goal of the night, I think you could argue, with that combination which saw El Yunusi make it 2-1 just before the half-hour mark. In terms of Copenhagen, Alvaro, let's reflect on their story, because it has been an extraordinary run, really, into the last 16 of the Champions League.
It's been unbelievable, really. They were playing in one of the most difficult groups of the Champions League when they were, with Bayern, with Manchester United and with Galatasaray. And they managed to come out second from that group. In the first 3 games, they got only 1 point. And in the last 3 games of that group stage, they got 7. So they had the resilience and they had the belief that they could make it, and they did it. And I think the manager, Nistrup, has been fantastic. I like how many tactical switches he does during the games. I believe that over there at Copenhagen there are very good players as well. We have mentioned El Yunusi because we know him and he's very good. I really like Vavro, the Slovakian defender. He's the leader of Slovakia, and Slovakia will be playing in the Euro, and we're going to hear from this player too. And generally speaking, they have been fresher in the Champions League. It's been good to have them, and I really hope that they are back very soon. Of course, they have to do their work in the local league to qualify for the next Champions League, but this project is a project that is worth following.
I thought tonight when they brought on Rooney Bardakci to second half, this young lad is 18, their top scorer with 10 goals this season. He added a lot as well. So they do have young players. I think they began the game today with, 3 teenagers. Bardakci came on as well. So it is a project going forward, which is going to be good to watch, because Copenhagen do play good football. Their coach obviously isn't 36, and I think until next season. So, yeah, a team and a coach with lots of potential.
Dan, thank you. City have scored in each of their last 16 games in this competition 45 goals. In that run, and including last season's final, of course, they've now won 10 in a row.
And it's very uncanny, this thing, but they average 3 goals per game this Champions League. But it's not that in the previous game they scored 4 and yesterday they scored 2. They have scored 3 goals in each game of
it's
the Champions
satisfying,
League.
Isn't it?
It's satisfying, it's weird at the same time. how likely it is to score 3 goals in each of the 8 games you have played? Anyway, full credit to them. They have done a terrific job, and they are finding the net with ease.
Maybe it's what they took their foot off the gas. We can't mess with this 3 thing. We don't want to score
again.
That's our thing. By the way, this from Mohamed El Yunusi speaking after the game. I'm happy that I could give the fans something to be happy for with his goal. They were the best for us tonight. Manchester City 3, Copenhagen 1, 6-2, the aggregate score. So we now have 4 quarter-finalists. City, Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern, really strong at the moment. And the last 8 lineup will be completed next week. There's 4 terrific second legs to look forward to, as Jack Winstanley reports.
Matchday Live is on air from 2000 CET next Tuesday as the round of 16 continues in the Champions League. Our commentary match comes from London, where Porto hold a slender lead over Arsenal.
And now Galeno has it just outside the penalty. Shoots right footed. Oh, what a strike! What a goal! In the 4th minute of stoppage time, Mr. Champions League for Porto has sent the crowd absolutely wild.
That wonder goal at the Dragao has Sergio Conceição's team dreaming of the last 8. Arsenal coach Mikel Arteta is still confident that his team can turn it around.
Credit to them as well, they defended well, but it's true that when we got in certain situations, we didn't finish the actions, we didn't put the right final ball or the right cross, and we will learn from it and do it better in the returning game.
Kickoff is at 2100 CET, and we'll also bring you regular updates from Barcelona. Their tie with Napoli is level ahead of the second leg.
Martinez up from the back, Pedri, Lewandowski, Lewandowski! Edge of the area, back of the net. Andre Frank Zambo on Giza, turn from Osimhen! Goal by Victor Osimhen on the penalty spot! Finally, some space for Napoli's number 9.
Napoli reached the quarterfinals for the first time in their history last season, whilst Barcelona are aiming for the last 8 for the first time in 3 years. Next Wednesday, the final two ties reach their conclusion.
Big chance for Lautaro Martinez here for Inter in on goal. Oblak makes the save, and now Divac tries to return it goalwards and does, and this time it's in.
Atletico against Inter is our featured commentary match in a week's time. Extra time and penalties will be required if any of the ties are level after 90 minutes. That might be needed in Germany if PSV and Dortmund's match 2 weeks ago is anything to go by.
Marlon, edge of the penalty area. He'll want to try and get a shot in, and he has. It's gone in. Would you believe it on his return? Luke de Jong, up he steps. And scores!
It finished 1-1 in Eindhoven. We'll have regular updates from Dortmund as that tie reaches its conclusion. Expect drama next week in the Champions League as the quarter-final lineup is confirmed. Listen to it all on Matchday Live.
Jack Winstanley reporting there. So we normally, if it's Kevin Hatchard on the show, it's quick fire Kev. We go through each game in rapid fire, but it's all out Alvaro.
There you go. Active
today.
Alvaro.
Active Alvaro, so that's not bad. Okay, so Tuesday, 12th of March, Arsenal 0, Porto 1.
I think that the game is difficult for Arsenal, definitely, because Porto is in a good moment. They beat Benfica 5-0 in the weekend, but we know the capabilities of Arsenal. They are doing the job even before the first half is over in the Premier League, scoring plenty of goals. So I am expecting a tough game, but Arsenal still have a chance.
Barcelona 1, Napoli 1 the same night.
Well, Barcelona will find it difficult without Frenkie de Jong and Pedri. Both are out for the game. Napoli beat Juventus this weekend, and I think that they are on a better run with the new manager, Calzona. So I want to wait and see. But of course, Barcelona has to be a slightly favourite because they are playing at home.
Inter have won 12 in a row, and they're one up going to Atletico on Wednesday.
The best thing for Inter is that they can focus on this game entirely because they have wrapped it up in the Serie A pretty much like this. Atletico looks a little bit tired. They have played the Super Cup in 2024. They have played the Cup up to the semi-final. But at Metropolitano, anything can happen. And as soon as Atletico does something, a chance or scores a goal, a new belief will be born. And I think that this game can be dangerous for Inter.
By the way, we'll get who Alvaro thinks is going through from all four games. Final one, Dortmund versus PSV.
The same thing I said for Inter applies for PSV as well. They have pretty much won the title domestically. They can focus on this game. I am expecting goals and a lot of action because these two teams are about attacking.
Okay, which four teams are going through, Alvaro?
That's a good question. I think that I'm going to go for Barcelona, PSV. In this case, Inter, because they are fantastic. And
Arsenal. PSV going through in Alvaro's words. We'll see if all action Alvaro, I can't even remember what we called that in the end, is right when the round of 16 is completed next week. Let's go back to Wednesday's games then and focus on Real Madrid. 1 Leipzig, 1 a 2-1 aggregate victory. Jude Bellingham says his side had to be resilient tonight.
It's one of those games where you can't always win playing beautiful football. Sometimes you have to grind them out and defend well at times and make important blocks and then go up the other end and use the chances that you have. And we did that tonight with Vinny. So pleased to be through, but not satisfied. You look at the game, they've drawn 1-1, but it's not like we've played a really poor team. We've played a brilliant Leipzig team that came to play, that put it on us from the first minute. So, you know, this idea that, you know, we didn't have a great game is true, but they're also a very good team. So, pleased to get through to the next round. Bit of a hybrid one for me tonight, but I try and do my best for the team. Today probably wasn't my absolute best, but still recovering, still on the mend from the ankle injury and stuff. So getting back to you know, my level, but it's going to take a little bit of time. So yeah, I'm sure we'll be fine.
He's playing like that, still on the road to recovery, Jude Bellingham, playing his hybrid role. Was he your player of the match, Mark Scott?
He had my moment of the night with his carry for the goal that was slotted away brilliantly by Vinicius Junior. But actually, I'm going to give it to Willy Orban, the Leipzig skipper, because I thought he was excellent and he popped up with a big goal that gave them hope.
Yeah, for City, I think I'll go for Julian Alvarez. A goal and an assist for the European champions. He was superb tonight.
Alvaro, you could pick someone from Real Madrid too.
Vinicius Junior. He scored the goal and I think that he was decisive for Real Madrid once again.
Everyone's quick fire tonight. Great work, gents. And thank you very much for your company at home. That's just about all we have time for this evening. A reminder, as we discuss here, we'll be back on Tuesday, the 12th of March from 8 p.m. CET. For two more round of 16 second legs. Full commentary of Arsenal versus Porto an update from Barcelona against Napoli. Then on the following night, we head to the Spanish capital as Atletico host Inter and Borussia Dortmund will host PSV Eindhoven. Don't forget you can download this podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider for comprehensive analysis of all of the action. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, after another thrilling night in the UEFA Champions League, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.